Recording is starting.
Got it. All right. So I'm calling to order the Washington State Boundary Report to King County Regular Meeting. We're at the Bellevue Fire Department Station in Newcastle. It is 7:01 p.m. It's open to the public and pursuant to the Open Public Meetings Act. We are now called to order. So next up, we'll do our roll call. So Shelby?
Bob Cook?
Here.
Mary Lynn Evans?
Here.
Chandler Felt.
Here.
Marlon Gabbert. Jay Hamlin. Ken Hearing. Paul McCready.
Here on Zoom.
Teresa Platon.
Here.
Cheryl Shireman.
Here.
Stephen Toy.
Here.
Mr. Chair.
Here. Guess we now have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
All right. Next item on our agenda is public comment. Is there anybody online or in the room? I'm not seeing any. Going once, going twice. That's public comment. Next up are the minutes from our meeting on August 10th. Is there anybody have any comments or questions on the minutes from last month?
Not this time.
Would anybody like to move approval of the minutes?
I'll move.
Well, we beat you to it. Thank you,
second.
Thank you, Bob. Any questions, comments? One last time on the minutes. All in favor, say aye or raise your hand. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Anybody abstain? Passes unanimously. Figure out the number in a minute. All right. Next up is the chair's report. My report's going to be very brief. We're just update you. Last month, I updated you on the work that the steering committee has been doing on the ORPP. Tonight, we're going to go through it. But unfortunately, Bob Kaufman can't be with us tonight. So if we have any questions that are of legal nature, we'll have to hold those over for November. However, if we come to a conclusion tonight that we feel like we're good to go for, and we don't have any questions, whether they be legal or otherwise, that we have to push over until November, then we will go ahead and put it on the agenda for approval in November. Failing that, we would put it over for January 1st, our first meeting in January 2024. Okay. So, and then the only other thing is because we're going, several of us are going to be participating in the state meeting coming up in August or October 4th, 5th, and 6th, that we're going to cancel our October meeting for this board. Okay. That's my report. Shelby?
Thank you. So one thing you probably notice is a little bit different tonight, and I'm trying to speak very loudly so that y'all can hear, is that I failed to grab our meeting owl. So that's why you don't see the big room, and we might sound a little bit not as loud. So if you cannot hear on Zoom, let us know. We will talk louder. The meeting owl is on its way. So you will see a speedy husband delivery man coming with it at some point.
And I think I'm the only one on Zoom, and I hear you fine. So,
oh, good. Oh, but you have no. You're in good company.
Oh, okay.
On Zoom. Okay, a few things for the executive secretary's report. The first is for those of you here in the room. I did bring a handful of vouchers, so if you want to fill out your voucher now and leave it with me, I can take it, so you don't have to send it into Angelica. On that note, because we have the conference early next month, I have asked that Angelica wait until middle of October in order to process vouchers so that those going to the conference can get their hotel reimbursement and anything else they may have, mileage and such, for the conference on the next check. Please do have those to Angelica no later than the Friday after the conference. So that's October 13th, so that she can get that work done. notes. If anybody has any questions on that, please let us know. Also, please know that you still can register for the conference. So if you're wanting to go, please let Angelica know. She will register you, pay the registration fee. Also, rooms, I believe, are still available at the state government rate, which really wasn't different than the room block. So if you did want to stay over and you missed the room block, it is okay. Just book under the state government rate. And I can get you a letter if the hotel requires documentation of that. Next week, I'm going to be meeting with Bob Kaufman. As Hank mentioned, Bob can't make it tonight. He's on his way back to New Jersey to meet with his family for the holiday this weekend. So he and I are going to be meeting on a variety of things, including the ORPP. We're going to do an update on the Bridges plan annexation and de-annexation, which we've talked about in the past between Auburn and Kent. The city of Auburn has hired Bob Sturbank, who I'm guessing a lot of you may have worked with in the past from the city of Snoqualmie, as their attorney, and they have some legal questions that they've posed to Bob. So we're going to be meeting about that and a variety of other things. So if folks have anything they need to talk to or questions for Bob, he and I are meeting next Thursday, and I certainly can pass any of those along. As I've mentioned in the past, the county is redoing its website. That has happened. It has rolled over. You will notice that our website, it looks a little bit different right now, and it's all of its features are not quite working yet. We are working on it. We made some small changes in order to get our agenda for this meeting up onto the website. So thanks to Jay for letting me borrow his Box account to use for some easy URLs for our website. But that work is underway, and I continue to work with KCIT on that. We also have been working with the folks from regional planning regarding the GMPC, so the Growth Management Planning Commission meeting that was going to happen in September. We had a good meeting with Karen Meyering and Ivan Miller and Rebecca Maskin, and we used Jay's Databook database. So thanks again, Jay. And they have decided that they are going to defer annexations to the 2024 meetings of the GMPC and not take it up in September. The reason being is Karen has a lot of work she needs to do about what happened this year in the legislature, and as well as prepping for next season. And so they don't have capacity in regional planning to take it up right now, but they were really thankful for the data that we provided them. They were very thankful for us updating our master list to get their more data. They felt like, or they relayed to us that they felt like they've got good data about annexations now, so that they are now working on, okay, what is the story that we can tell with that data? So I feel like we've made a lot of progress in that area. Even though we will not see it on the GMPC agenda this year. Next up, just a heads up that as we go into sort of the final push of 2023, I know it's hard to think of, it's so nice and sunny out, but we're coming into the end of the year. Couple things to think about is one, that the nominating committee is going to need to meet. Because we are going to need to identify a chair-elect for 2024 and chair for 2025. Also need to start thinking about committee structures for 2024. So just a ping for the nominating committee. And then also I will start soon calling around and getting quotes for our annual end-of-the-year party meeting in December to see if Piatti is still in our price range, if there are maybe other places where we could have a little bit more of a private space. But I will start making those phone calls very soon because things are going to start booking up pretty quickly. And that is my report.
Thank you. Any questions for Shelby? All right. Next up, Legislative Committee. Marilyn.
Chandler and I would like to do a little togetherness on this particular report. As you know, he is chair of the State Legislative Committee, and I was previous chair of that committee, and I am still on this roster for the King County Legislative Board, board for our legislative committee. So when I was state chair and King County chair, there didn't seem to be any problems in role confusion because there was only one person. But now there are two of us. And things are tending to divulge and merge and, you know, go in and out and probably need a little bit of talking about. So I would like to, I am a member of the state legislative committee. So, you know, we are in almost constant contact, Chandler and I, and the APA legislative committee.
It's not quite. It's not quite a situation where we're rivals or are fighting all the time.
No, not at all. It's just that it has the potential for having some role confusion if we're not intentional about it. So I would like to propose that the King County BRB Legislative Committee have its very first meeting sometime in the next 2 weeks, to kind of talk over who we are, who we think we are, how we think we want to interface with the state legislative committee, and how we might differ or be similar to. And that would be something that we can, you could help us set up, Shelby? And
yes.
So then in the meantime, I'd like to just say thank you so much to Chandler for taking over the state legislative committee and what a great job he's been doing. And it's all yours.
Let me append something to what you just suggested, that are you sure you want to have the King County Legislative Committee meet in the next 2 weeks before the state conference, or should we postpone that until after the state conference?
That is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, let's wait until after.
I think it would be better because, okay, you know, several of us have a lot of prep to do for the state conference. So,
okay. So but before our next board meeting.
Before the next board meeting and after the state conference.
Yeah. That give you 4 or 5 weeks to get that done.
Okay.
Okay. So I can give a very brief report on the State Association Legislative Committee. We've met a couple of times recently, mostly to prepare for our report to the conference, the State Association Conference, which is October 4th to 6th in Puyallup. And several members of this board are going. That's great. We'll be well represented there. We're preparing an oral presentation on what we did this year in the Ledge Committee, and then a little skit, the BRB players doing fascinating performance on what it's like to meet a legislator. So we're having fun with that, and it should be enjoyable and educational for everybody at the conference. So that's about it.
You should videotape it and put it on YouTube.
That would be pretty daunting.
We can definitely do that.
Theater major?
I think Jay could help with that.
Definitely not.
Yep.
Definitely not. We have some enthusiastic people. That's about the best we can offer.
It's perfect. Perfect. Thank you for the any questions for the legislative committees.
So just for reference, the legislative committee for us, it's Mary Lynn, Marlin, Chandler, Cheryl, and then Paul as emeritus, member emeritus. So that gives you an idea. And then also just to circle back to the nominating committee, that's Chandler, you're the chair of that. Jay, Bob Cook, and Ken Herring are on that committee with you. So you'll want to be thinking about it. And again, perhaps right after you're done with, after you've caught your breath after Peoria.
Yeah, right. Then yes. Do that. There will be a period of catching breath.
That's yes. Right. Reacquaint yourself with your defense. It's always important.
All right. Next up is the personnel committee. Steve?
Thanks. So the personnel committee met a couple of times in August to prepare a draft performance evaluation for Shelby, which is on the agenda. So on the personnel committee, we have myself, Jay, Bob, Hank, and Kim Herring. And let's see, did I get everybody? Yeah. First thing we tackled was the form itself. We've been previously using a performance evaluation form the entire time I've been here, going back 12, 13 years for Lenora. That now, I guess, King County Human Services recommends we use an updated version. So we reviewed that. It's optional that we use this updated version, but the personnel committee looked at it and decided that it does the trick. So you'll see a different version of the personnel, the performance evaluation form than we've seen in the past today. And one of the interesting things about it that we haven't developed yet is that the new form pays a lot of attention to goal setting for the upcoming year, which was a piece that for some reason wasn't in the previous performance evaluation form. It was always kind of like a standard set of criteria that evaluate, but there wasn't kind of a forward-looking aspect of it for what expectations were for the next year. Now, we didn't fill out that part of the form yet, but I think it is something that probably the personnel committee will want to reconvene and think about with Shelby, how something could be structured or put together so that we come around to this time next year, we have a comparison to what the goals were that we agreed on for the year. Like I say, it's on the agenda a little later on. You'll see it. I think that covers it. With any other of the personnel committee members, anything to add? Any questions?
Just to clarify, I'm ex officio on committee.
Valuable play.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stephen. Sure. Thank you, committee members, for your participation. That's the end of the administration portion of our agenda. Now we move in to discuss the organizational rules of practice and procedures. And this is something that Bob's committee has been hard at work on with Shelby's able assistance. Probably mostly Shelby and then bouncing ideas off of those folks that are on that committee. So Bob, Mary Lynn, Paul, and Steve. As I recall, Bob, Steve, and me were the main board members on that, those two, the call at least.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll turn it over to Shelby. You want to walk through while you're texting your...
Our delivery person is arriving right now. He's like, should I go up the stairs? Like, no, around the back. So thank you again to the steering committee for all the work that you have done with the ORPP. There's my husband. Hello. So we met and we went through the ORPP. And remember when we talked about last time we looked at the ORPP, we were looking at immediate changes we needed. So changes to make sure that we were meeting in accordance with the OPMA, making sure that if we had folks who say were disruptive during a public comment session, that we would have a way to deal with it. Things we really needed to get done this year. And then the steering committee decided that it was going to take some of the things that could maybe wait a little bit longer for the other parts of the ORPP and take that as a second chunk. And so this is the second chunk. And the steering committee met in early August, and then Bob Kaufman responded to some questions that it had. And so I went through and incorporated Bob's changes, and this is where we are at today. As mentioned, Bob can't be here today, so we didn't think it was fair to ask members to be prepared to move this forward for publication and then a vote the next meeting, just in case folks had legal questions. But we did want to share what the steering committee has come up with so far and invite member questions or comments or other potential changes. So a lot of this was just cleaning up wording. Something like, you know, members are encouraged to attend the annual conference, making sure that the state association's name was correct, things like that. Other changes were just technical changes. Like our folks who are appointed by the executive, you all know that you are all subject to confirmation by the King County Council, but that was not reflected in the ORPP itself. Thank you very much. And so this is just reflecting things like that. One of the other things that we did was trying to use consistent language. So in our other versions of the ORPP, we didn't always use the same words for the same things. So we're trying to use a meeting, like a regular meeting or a special meeting, to mean the meetings that we're doing here today. And then when we use the word public hearing, we're trying to use that only for when our in jurisdiction has been invoked and we are having a public hearing about that. However, we can't always do that, and we'll talk about that at the end. We came up to one tricky little spot. Also, we went through and tried to, again, take really consistent language when we talk about our committees. So who is chairing the committees, what each committee is doing, things like that. And a couple things I think we want to note for members, specifically for their thoughts and for their comments, are regarding kind of the roles of the committees. So the steering committee, and again, members, please jump in at any time. The steering committee is really the policy, the committee that provides policy advice and policy making for the board. And so it's going to be about the ORPP, but also, you know, other rules or policies that relate to the work of the board. And the other committees do have a role in policy, but a lot of them, I think that what we intended to say is that those committees are going to recommend policy changes or policy decisions to the steering committee. And then the steering committee would bring those policy decisions to the board itself after it had discussed them. So that does have an implication for the budget committee. So instead of the budget committee, making budget policy decisions, the steering committee thought making fiscal policy recommendations to the steering committee as the policy making body would be the appropriate place. Again, we did some more technical corrections. So reflecting that usually the county has a biennial budget, again, 2025 is gonna be an odd year for that, but making some technical corrections to about that budget cycle.
May I interrupt with a question?
Absolutely. This would be a good time for that.
The thing about having the various committees, especially the budget committee, recommend to the steering committee, does that imply that the steering committee will have to meet more often?
Essentially.
You think other committees would also be recommending policy changes that would then be taken up by the steering committee?
I think it could happen. I think that the other committee that has probably been the most involved in policy has been the budget committee. But in theory, the personnel committee could have something to recommend.
This would be a recommendation related to changes to the rules and policies.
Policy procedures. Recommendations.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
For example, if the personnel committee felt like the board was being staffed in a certain way and it thought there should be changes to that, I think it should bring that to the steering committee.
Which might then work well with the budget committee, because obviously that would change some budget potential.
Yeah.
Potential.
Yeah.
Thank you. It would go to the steering committee, who would then bring it to the full board.
That was one, and thank you, Chandler, for that question. Again, we made some other technical corrections, like in the personnel committee. We had the word approval in an executive session, and you can't approve anything you can't vote in an executive session. So we moved that to evaluation, which I think is a better reflection of really what we were doing anyways, but just to correct it so that it's correct. In the staffing section, as you all may know, Angelica had a reclass last year, and in the ORPP, it referred to her position at its prior classification. And so instead of just changing it to her current classification, we went with additional staff to be more flexible. Should we need additional staff to Angelica for some reason, or if Angelica's step title and class would change again, we thought it would be easier to keep it flexible instead of having to go change our rules to match something like that.
And that kind of is in keeping with what changes we made to how we refer to Bob.
Yep. Again, we changed some of our notice practices when you're corresponding with the board, you're going to send correspondence to our office in King County, Washington, not trying to say exactly where that office will be at all times because it could change. And again, do we want to have to change our rules because we move the office? But we do want it clear that the address of the board's office should be posted prominently on our website, so people shouldn't have to, you know, do a lot of research to try and figure out where we are. But we also don't want to have to change rules for just something like that. We changed some of the language regarding the retention of records to match what is in our retention schedules and the actual practice of how records are kept in King County, which is basically the board keeps records that have not met their retention period in the office, and our records that have archival value, mainly our NOI files, are retained actually by the archives, and those are retained as part of its collection. They're no longer our records, they belong to the archives, but that's great because they have climate controlled facility with security and the right humidity for paper and all that kind of stuff that we don't have. We basically didn't make a lot of changes in our areas about how we accept notices of intention. Our goal is to update our instructions after we're done with this process, and we are going to work with our stakeholders in order to get some feedback on how our NOI process works. But we didn't really change the rules around in the NOIs too much, except that we now want to clarify, like, they need to send in copies of resolutions. We're not asking them to send copies with like the raised stamp that the clerk, you know, puts their special stamp on. A copy from their website would be fine as long as it's got the right signatures on it. which again just matches the practice that we already have at the office. And we just basically, again, cleaned up a little bit of language, really just trying to keep the words special meeting, regular meeting, and public hearing to mean very specific things so that we've got consistency in the ORPPs. This is the area that we spent a lot of time on last time on our regular meetings, special meetings, and public hearings. So we don't really need to go too much through that here. Again, talking about records management, this is again where you're gonna maintain our recordings of our meetings for the retention period. We post the audio on our website, so really anybody can listen if they want at any time. So we're not requiring people to make requests or buy tapes or anything like that. We didn't really, in our last go round of this, talk too much about public hearings. And so we do that in this go round. When we ask for written materials, we ask that they're provided 14 days before the public hearing so that we can get our agenda packets to you all within 7 days. We make a commitment to post them on our website in this version. Again, that's just for transparency and also trying to cut down on work for folks having to ask for stuff. We think it's important that folks can really self-serve as much as that they can. Again, we just changed some names of things to be consistent, but we didn't change anything substantive. We haven't had a public hearing in over 4 years, so we may want to look at this again after we've had a chance to test it out. But we were trying to think about what it may look like, and folks who've been through it, you know, recounting how it was like. And we really didn't change much besides things about, like, again, records management. We did change a little bit of wording in the appeals area. We had some language in that we were providing copies of our decisions to the state, but Bob wasn't sure where that was from, and Lenora wasn't sure where that was from, and so it's not in the statute itself, and so we removed it, because I don't know where we would send it anyways.
Yeah.
They do go to the clerk of the King County Council, though. And the clerk keeps it in perpetuity, as well as provides it to different groups.
Since our hearing decisions are appealable to Superior Court, do copies go to the judicial branch of King County?
They do not. So what would happen, and Bob would have to confirm this, but my understanding is that they would take a copy of our decision of our findings, and they would need to file a lawsuit. And so they'd file their petition basically in Superior Court.
Okay.
And then it would follow the normal case schedule for that type of case.
All right.
But it would be filed with their petition. And we have the ability to certify things if they needed a certified copy. We could do that. Also, I'm sure the clerk of the council can also provide certified copies of things should they be needed. We had a thing about that when we needed maps from the county, we would ask the county for things, for certain things. And I really am not sure that that is the way it would work, that if we needed something. So we tried to keep it just a little more general, that I will get the maps that we need, whether that's me working directly with the GIS folks or the print shop, or asking Rhodes to help, or asking the executive's office to help. I didn't want to put in a specific procedure if we weren't sure that it actually would work like that in these days. I think we're not alone at the county that since the pandemic, a lot of like internal processes have changed, and how exactly you go about getting somebody to turn on the big plotting map machine, I think might be a little bit different. The last thing that we had, one bit that came through Bob was, again, we were really trying to get the word public hearing out of anything that wasn't when our jurisdiction was invoked and we were having a public hearing for that reason. But we do actually have to have a public hearing in order to amend these rules, although it doesn't need to be, it can be at our regular meeting and our special or a special meeting. So Bob suggested we could come up with a different word, like an ORPP public hearing or a rules making or policy making public hearing. He said we could add to the word public hearing if we wanted to delineate it, but we really did need to keep public hearing in the way we do our notice for amending of ORPP. So I kind of just took out our proposed change and thought I would share that and see what folks thought.
I think something like rules public hearing to distinguish the public hearing that's required to amend our rules is adequate just in this one statement. And that would distinguish it from every other reference to a public hearing elsewhere in the rules that relate to NOI annexation public hearing. So we can, if we just make the change here to clarify it's a rules public hearing, is that enough of a distinction until, you know, that it's a different animal than all the other references elsewhere throughout the rules that refers to a public hearing regarding an annexation?
I tend to agree. I mean, the description is pertinent to rules changing, apparently, and it's not to anything that comes from an outside source. It's an internal process, and we required a public hearing. So I don't know if we want to come up with a new name, because really, it's a public hearing by definition,
hearing, and it's going to be in public.
But the description of why it is pretty inclusive there. It kind of tells you this is what the deal's about. We're going to change something, but we're going to be it's public hearing about it. So I don't know. I mean,
the way I read this, it's describing if we're going to be making changes to our rules,
right,
then we shall have a hearing at a regularly scheduled or special meeting.
Yeah.
So I think
to me, it implies a separation from our public hearing of an
annexation
or something. Yeah. Right.
Because this is just talking about the types of rules amendments that would be done at a meeting of the public.
But Bob Kay said we should maybe add a word to it. We did for clarity.
He said we could add a word to it.
Could.
He said if you wanted, he said we have to keep it as public hearing. But if we wanted to add it something in front of it to delineate, if we really wanted to go that way, that would be fine. But we're not required to do so.
Any other thoughts? Anybody else have any other thoughts?
Clear as mud.
Anybody anywhere?
Anybody on the call?
It seems to me like whenever you publish your notice for your public hearing, you're going to describe what it's for. So it really, you're going to clarify that at that time.
And it sounds like the procedures for that kind of internal rules public hearing would be the same as the procedures for an external or annexation related public hearing, right?
They'd be vastly different.
Way down.
So when we're
then we probably do need a word like a rules public hearing.
So I think our issue is. Oh, go ahead.
You're going to open yourself up to if you have different types of public hearings, and you got to describe every single one of them. This is meant to be general, and it's lowercase public hearing. It's not specific public hearing.
It's really not any different than a district or a city. They're going to have a SEPA public hearing. They're going to have a vacation public hearing. And, you know, there's all different types of public hearings.
Right.
So.
But they are a public
hearing. But it's a public hearing for part of the due process.
Well, what we could possibly do, and maybe we could talk to Bob about this, is when we are going to have a rules oriented, is the only time we put anything, any modifier on there, right? Otherwise, a public hearing is a jurisdiction invoked situation, whereas a rules public hearing is just that, rules public hearing. If that satisfies your thinking, Chandler.
I think that would help clarify it.
And so then, you know, we have the title of it is on that last page there. Types of rule amendments which require public hearing notice, and we just say, well, you know, we'll have this rules public hearing. See that in that sentence? May be conducted at a regular meeting or a special meeting. That
we could do that, or we could do rules related.
Yeah. Rules related would be better.
Yeah. Shirley, you're right. Public hearings take a variety of different topics, shall we say. And
I think that works.
Okay.
Shelby, you didn't want to remove that 93 that you just did.
No, I did not. You are correct. Reject.
There you go.
Oh, no, we don't want to do that, but we wouldn't be able to find it. Okay, well, that's the end of all the changes. Anybody else have any?
I have a question.
From the document, or do you need to clarify rules related, or is this the
only? This is the only one.
Okay.
Because it's talking about when we make changes to our rules, how we're going to have, you know, when we have the meeting, how we're going to do it. Okay. Thank you for asking that. Steve?
Yeah. Even though we didn't change the language about a member's attendance at a hearing in order to participate in a vote, we did get clarification from Bob on what the requirements are. So the requirements and the practice has been, if I'm reading Bob's answer correctly, is that it's desirable that a board member, if they're not able on a hearing that takes multiple evenings, if they're not able to be at all the evenings when testimony is taken, that when the vote occurs, that board member has made the effort to review the record, listen to the tape, the video, whatever, and to make that part of the disclosure prior to the vote. And that's been the practice. So we've had board members that haven't been able to attend every night of public testimony on a hearing that have still participated in the vote because they've disclosed that they reviewed the record and the collection and the tape of the testimony that was provided. That satisfies our rules. That's the wording that allows it, as well as state law.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, no, that's why there's no changes proposed. And I don't know if you can flip to the page 12 or something like that, just to make sure we're clear on what it currently says, that we're not proposing a change to that it would operate that way. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is it.
Any member voting on a resolution must have been present during at least one session of the public hearing. There's another reference on page 12 about multiple sessions.
So I'm curious about the history of that. Is there quite a few hearings that have gone over multiple?
Yes. Yeah, most of them have. Yeah.
He has some. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so
well, I know they do, but I haven't ever.
Well, and especially if during the actual hearing, if the folks that are involved bring in additional data, and then we have to have some time to review it.
Yeah,
so sometimes. Then we'll put it off for a week or.
Sometimes, right the night of the hearing, there's considerable amount of new information that's right. provided to the board that we can't
digest
at one right. meeting, so we have to delay or postpone and come meetings. Back. So this part covers the that section that currently has language that any member voting on a resolution and hearing decision must have been present during at least one session of the hearing. Or modification hearing and or during the regular meeting in which the proceedings included discussion of the resolution. A member may be present and vote on a resolution hearing decision by phone, video conference, any other means of electronic communication, provided the member is able to hear the deliberation of the board and the board is able to hear the comments and vote of the member appearing remotely. So I think this language covers what we would want to see in the way of our options. If we're not able to attend every evening of a multi evening deliberation.
Just for additional comment on that is that years past when I was at hearings, it's a large board. There's a lot of us sitting at the quorum table, and if one person can't make it, it'd be really rare, because if we go through our factors and objectives, there's a lot of unanimity in the decision of the board. And I don't think I've ever, I remember one meeting where someone couldn't come one night for whatever it was. It was one person one night, and there's a lot of us. So I don't think we'd find much resistance as long as the people that are aware of our voting procedures know that, yes, or it's stated, the member says, I did review last night's testimony. I have listen to it all, and I'm up to speed. So I don't think it's a problematic situation, because the size of the board and also the complexity of some of the topics too. So I think this wording really just says, hey, we covered the material. We know what's here. We're up to speed. So
no change. Yeah.
And one thing, once we're done with this process, that we can do is start building and updating any templates that we have, so that we've got templates and scripts and things like that, so that we can make sure we check them off as we go through something like this.
Good conversation.
Yeah, very much. Was there a question from yes. the Zoom folks?
Yes, I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Am I? Okay. On page 13, under participation in voting, it says that the vote of each member shall be, where is it at? Oh, each board member or the chair, and the chair is expected to participate in deliberations to vote on all resolutions and all actions unless the member abstains or withdraws from the proceedings or discussion on the issue. And this is new language to me. I've never seen this before. Why would somebody abstain or withdraw unless they had a conflict of interest? And then it should be recusing. Then they should be recusing themselves from all participation in this.
Not necessarily. If I'm understanding your question correctly, a member can say that they might have some sort of conflict of interest or something that may look as though they would not participate, but they can decide on their own to participate. Isn't that correct? Without having to go through any validation process by the board.
So I think that's a good question for Bob Kaufman. I believe that the board does have a conflict policy. It may be time for us to look at that again. But I think that I I would defer to Bob on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I remember it, Mary Lynn, too.
Yeah, Paul. Yeah. And okay. You know, it's sometimes when these things get really complex, in the beginning, you may not think that you have a conflict of interest, but then all of a sudden you think, oh, wait, maybe I talked to somebody or maybe something happened that, you know, it's just coming to light for me. And so I need to recuse myself.
Okay. I think that's a great thing for us to take to Bob to have him clarify about the participation and voting. When there's that conflict.
Thank you.
And when there's a potential conflict of interest, when they need to abstain or recuse. So recusal policy, which I think would be good to have it outlined.
Yes.
And we can look at what the state, what we can get, what we can, you know, plagiarize from other sources.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know we have one. We have one for board members, which is different than ones that we, as folks who vote and things like that. And Helica and I are covered by the county's code of ethics, which is different, which does not cover you all, but it does as county employees for us. But Angelica and I are not considering or voting or anything like that. So we will look, I will find whatever ours is, and I will share that and also make sure that we get some information from Bob K.
And again, just for clarification, this is under the regular and special meeting section of the ORPP, not public hearings. It's on page 12, because that's...
It's also in the other section. So it's also on page 17.
Okay, so let's cover both of them.
Yeah.
I remember during the Sammamish, one of the Sammamish hearings, that Cameron Garul, I believe, was a planning director in that. I think I have it right. And I used to work for Cameron. And I remember at the beginning of that hearing that I said that I needed to let the simple folks know that I had been an employee of Mr. Garul, but I was not an employee now. And it had been X number of years, and I felt that I could make a fair and impartial judgment.
Disclosed. That's the mm-hmm. expectation. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. But like I say, it should be written in mm-hmm. a process.
There are other types of conflicts. For example, if you have a personal financial interest in something versus something like you just described, Mary Lynn, where you have a professional connection, maybe a family relationship, something like that. So a good conflicts policy should address
everything, soup to nuts. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll get back together with Bob. We'll cover that, and we'll send out another updated draft. I guess Shelby and I will talk about whether or not we think we can get it done in November or January, like they go forward.
Yes.
I mean, my fingers are crossed we can knock this off before the end of the year. That's my finger.
So. Do you want to ask the board if they are comfortable with it as is, or do we want more? Because the conflicts issue would be separate from what this, because this is, that is no change here in the current language.
Where would we house a conflicts policy?
That would be in addition to an RPD.
It would be an additional.
Yes. So we could take action on this. In that you all could direct me to publish this as it is if you had no questions, and we could vote in November, or we could wait until November. You all tell me yes or no then, and we vote in January.
What do you guys think?
In November, would we be able to see recusal language as part of combined with this, so we could take a single action in January?
Well, if you want to bring it back in November to review again with that policy added, and then with the idea that we would adopt it in January. That's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, I just don't know how long it would take.
Is there a rush to get this done?
I'm sorry.
So did any of the cities have recusal language in any of their I don't recall.
They follow the states. Most cities follow the state's recommendation.
The county does, yeah. But you have to have a personal financial interest in the action. So it has
they also
to be,
have a disclosure
yep.
expectation for
and you can't
be in situation.
And you can't be part of the discussion. So you have
but,
to
but under policy or so, under what's it under?
It's county code.
County code.
Yeah.
It was under our rules of operation.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a pretty meaty topic.
It's a meaty topic.
So, yeah,
let's bring it back in November for
we
discussion.
We might be going down a rabbit hole here that
Right. So just like we did this year, we separated the quick fixes earlier this year from a longer time frame that we had to prepare these amendments and vote. So maybe the recusal could also be separated from this action. And it sounds like it's a body of work that could take a fair amount of time to develop and make sure that we're comfortable.
That's a good point. We could update this as is with the promise, just like we did with the. So next year's steering committee gets to deal with it, or we get to deal with it after all. Yeah.
And that's okay.
And that's, are we okay with that?
Then we do it right. Take our time, do it right.
Yeah. Are we okay with that?
I am.
Anybody have a call? Ken, Paul, anybody on the phone?
Jay? No, I'm fine with it.
I'm good.
So it sounds like we're going to come back.
Hey, look at that.
With the promise that we're going to be adding a section at a future point in time for, you know, conflict of interest, recusal, et cetera, you know, soup to nuts, like I said.
So,
Ken, did you have something you want to add?
No, I'm just saying I'm good with that.
Okay, thanks.
And did we make any changes regarding the insertion of rules-related hearings?
Yes.
Yeah. This is the time to do that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was added. Yeah,
rules related. She put it in there.
So that I'm clear, you all are directing me to add rules related, okay. as we talked about, and then to note this in the Seattle Times for a vote in November, correct?
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We don't have any rush. Nothing is pending.
No, but it is nice to have that we've incrementally updated things. So we did this part check. Now we've done the second part check. Now we're going to look at our conflict policy check. The next part for the staff is we're going to start looking at our instructions to our filing agencies and start doing some outreach with our agencies regarding NOIs and how they file and that kind of stuff.
I think it's good to get it completed within this year, too.
I agree. And I also look at this as a living document. So it needs to be updated often because things are going to change. We're eliminating some of the irritants in terms of changes. We're making them more substantive. But at the same time, it's been a while since I think it's been updated at this level, at least since I've been on the board. So. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. That was a really good discussion. I very much appreciate the participation across the board. So that is ORPP, item 6. Now we're on to item 7, which is an executive session. I have a whole script I have to read here. All right. So today is September 14th, starting at 8 o'clock. The Washington State Boundary Review Board for King County will now meet in executive session to discuss performance of a public employee per RCW 43.30.110, subpar G. The Washington State Boundary Review Board for King County will be in executive session until 8:15, so we have 15 minutes p.m. The Washington State Boundary Review Board for King County will take further action following the executive session. So, we are now.
Okay, recording is back.
All right, so we are back and we are at the portion in our agenda where we're going to be voting for the approval of the annual performance appraisal of the executive secretary, Steve.
Sure. I move that the employee performance appraisal year in review that was just reviewed for Executive Secretary Shelby Middleton to be approved.
I second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye and raise your hands.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? I hear unanimous. I think it's 10 to 0. There we go. Congratulations and thank you. Thank you, Personnel Committee, and thank you, Stephen, for leading us and getting us to this point. So much
appreciate all your help.
Yeah, oh, it's my pleasure. All right, that brings us to new business.
Okay, so we don't have any new files filed, but this month we had two new file starts, so that's good. Both for special purpose districts. We have one for water with the Covington Water District. So that legal description and map is now with the assessor's office for its review before we give them the okay to start their SEPA process and all the things that they have to do before they can file an NOI with us. And then we have a second one with the Seuss Creek Water and Sewer District. Not sure if it's water and sewer or just one or the other. They're not as far in the process. Their first pass review did not go forward. So it's back to their consultants to bring us a new legal description and map before it officially goes to the assessor's office. As I mentioned, Bob Kay and I are going to meet regarding the bridges on Thursday. So additional discussion between us and Auburn and Kent regarding that process. But that is what's going on now, but I was very happy about our two new potential files. Thank you again to Angelica for sending out the master list. Next meeting, you'll see what we've done for the GMPC, which is again, add even more data for them, which once we're doing it, we're gonna keep it up so that we share it with everybody, so that anybody who might be interested would have that also.
I think that was a masterful stroke on Jay's part to put that information booklet together.
Hear, hear.
Really, yeah. Masterful. And we should make a special note of it in our year-end report.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll let Jay buy the first round of drinks for that.
Sure.
We were very able to very quickly and easily share data with regional planning as to which PAAs have at least 2,000 residents, which makes them eligible for the new House Bill 1425. So I was glad to quickly send that over to say, here's the six or seven of them that are over the 2,000 threshold.
A consulting firm would have asked for $30,000.
And a year.
I'm only 15. 15 is good. But
as a former consultant, you would know.
Okay, that's it. Anything else? I think we're at the end of our agenda. How's that? Anybody else have anything for the good of the order they want to share?
Yeah, I'd like to mention something. I went to my oncologist yesterday, and I am in full remission.
Yeah.
And, yes. And so I'm ready to take on the board like I used to, and I want to fully participate in the committees and whatnot. So
that's
I'm
awesome.
Happy to say that. I'm very, very happy.
Cool. Yeah, you look fantastic, by the way.
So. Thanks. Thanks. I feel so much better. This year has been very difficult, and I so next meeting I'm in it's going to be November now. So I'm going to make every effort to come down there. So
we need to cancel.
Yeah, maybe I'll have more hair by then.
I like it that way.
Okay. All right. So this is a reminder, we have canceled our October meeting. For those folks who are going to the annual conference, have a great time. Get lots of information. Share it with your peers, as it were. Happy Halloween. Happy harvest season. I won't see you until some of you until after afterward. And we'll see you all on the second Thursday in November. All right. With that, we are adjourned.
All right.
Great.
Everybody.
Got it.
All right.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Yep. I didn't put down any budget savings. Okay, no, we'll do that.
And happy New Year to folks for who celebrate this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. So no changes. You've got a copy of the Word document.